Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call of Dalmia Bharat Limited for the quarter and the year ended 31st March 2022. Please note that this conference call will be for 60 minutes. And for the duration of this conference call, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. This conference call is being recorded and the transcript of the same may be put up on the website of the company. After the management discussion, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. Before I hand over the conference to the management, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this call may not be based on historical information or facts and may be forward-looking statements. The forward-looking statements are based on expectations and projections and may involve a number of risks and uncertainties and other factors that could cause actual results, opportunities, and growth potential to differ materially from those suggested by such statements. On the call, we have with us Mr. Puneet Dalmia, MD, Dalmia Bharat Limited, Mr. Mahendra Singhi, Managing Director and CEO, Dalmia Cement Bharat Limited, Mr. Dharmendra Tuteja, CFO, Dalmia Bharat Limited, Mr. Rajiv Bansal, President and Chief Transformation Officer, and other management of the company. I would now like to hand the conference call over to Ms. Aditi Mittal, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neera. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 22 and FY 22 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Hope you had a chance to go through the results and the earnings presentation, which is available on our website and can be downloaded from the investor section there. I will not take much time and hand over the call to Mr. Dalmia for his opening remarks. Over to you.
Thank you, Aditi. Good morning, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to welcome all of you to the Q4 FY 22 and FY 22 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Let me start by giving you my assessment of the year gone by and how I see the next year play out. After that, Singhiji and Dharmendra will give you more details about our performance. If I can put it very candidly, last 1 year has been a mixed year for us, with a few hits and a few misses. During the last 1 year, we have increased our capacity by 17%, entered the Western markets through commissioning of our Murli plant, and we became the first cement company to put out a formal capital allocation policy. We increased our dividend payout as a part of that, laid our vision of 110 to 130 million tons by 2031, set up a strategy and transformation office under Rajiv Bansal to help us realize our vision, address the concerns of investors on non-core assets. We improved our governance through appointment of EY as our internal auditor and Grant Thornton as our statutory auditors. And we made some very important strides in our journey towards ESG. We also created a formal risk management policy and framework. We improved our communication and transparency and laid out a clear treasury policy in line with the best in class. We've also asked Rajiv to head most of our corporate functions in addition to his role as a Chief Transformation Officer to help us transition into a globally respected professional organization. Just talking about it, I realize that in line with our vision to be a globally respected organization, we have done a lot of work last year to transform this company. But at the same time, we've had a few misses. During the last year gone by, we had expected, like everyone else, a very strong demand environment coming out of the pandemic with a strong push from the government for increase in infrastructure spending, focus on low-cost housing, and rural demand. However, the year turned out to be quite volatile in terms of demand. The demand was good in a few months, while it was completely disappointing in a few others. The input costs during the year have gone up beyond anyone's expectations, and it was challenging to manage the cost inflationary pressure without being able to pass on to the consumers. As you would know, there is a time lag between input costs going up and our ability to pass it on to the consumers. we had to absorb a large part of it during the year, and that impacted our EBITDA and resultant cash flows. In spite of the volatility and challenges, I would say that we have done a phenomenal job in our cost management, growth, and the transformation journey. I continue to be bullish on the outlook for the sector and the industry. With the GDP growth pegged at 6-8% over the next couple of years, the cement industry could in turn deliver a demand growth of an average of 8-9% annually, given the government push towards infrastructure building and low-cost housing. We see robust rural demand, which should help us in the markets where we operate. What also gives me the confidence is that over the last 2-3 months, we have seen demand come back and also price inching up simultaneously. The only major headwind that I see today is further rise in energy prices. It's very difficult to predict how this will play out, given the geopolitical issues in Europe and the shutdown in China because of the pandemic. This has resulted in supply chain disruptions across the globe, resulting in supply constraints and rising inflation. The resultant increase in interest costs would also impact our cost of expansions. This would mean that we have to be prudent in our expenses and run a very tight ship, and we are committed towards doing that. There have been recent media news about Holcim selling their stake in Ambuja and ACC. The very fact that there has been widespread interest in these assets from so many players, including new players, shows the potential of this sector and the contribution it could make to India's growth story. As you would recall, Dalmia Bharat was a part of government's Adopt a Heritage project and was identified as the Monument Mitra of Nation's iconic 17th century heritage site, the Red Fort. We have been bestowed with the responsibility to enhance and uplift its tourist potential and cultural importance in a planned and phased manner. Under the umbrella of Azadi Ka Amrit Mahotsav, we hosted a 10-day cultural festival showcasing the rich, diverse culture and heritage of our country. And the event witnessed a massive footfall of over 150,000 people, along with the presence of dignitaries from government and business houses. Going forward too, with an endeavor to showcase our country's rich heritage on a global stage, we will be undertaking a series of events at the Red Fort, and I personally invite all of you to be a part of the upcoming events. This is all from my side, and I thank all of you once again for always being our well-wishers and sharing your valuable inputs and constructive feedback. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Singhi.
Thanks, Puliji. Thanks for highlighting about the environment of the country and globally also. Happy morning, everyone. Last year has indeed been a dynamic one for the industry, with fluctuating volumes and an unprecedented inflation in input costs. Friends, I'm happy that we ended the year on a positive note with strong momentum in terms of cost management, price, and volume. We have delivered a strong performance in Q4 after a weak Q3, and we believe that we have the momentum entering into the new financial year FY23. In Q4, we have been able to perform better than the Q3, and we have delivered a volume growth of 16%, while our EBITDA grew by 67% to 683 crores. Furthermore, we were able to improve the EBITDA per ton by almost 43% from 700 rupees per ton to 1036 rupees per ton in Q4. On a full year basis, during financial year 22, we delivered a volume and revenue growth of 7.3% YOY at 22.2 million ton and 12% at 11,286 crores respectively. We have also seen a YOY price increase of 3.8%. This was, however, too little an increase to offset the massive increase in energy prices and the other input costs. During the year, the imported petcoke prices almost doubled from $128 to $246 per ton. And even the diesel prices also went up by 20%. However, due to proactive initiatives by the team, we have successfully been able to mitigate the adverse impact to some extent, and the decline in EBITDA was contained at 18% to 1,091 rupees a ton. Friends, few years back, we had set effort on a strategic journey to reduce our dependencies on external fuel supplies and also add to consistency and predictability of our performance. In line with the same, we started to enhance the usage of green fuel and green power. Green fuel in our fuel mix, it has been growing, and I'm happy to share that over a very short period of time, the percentage of green fuel on full year basis has increased to 13.4%. In Q4, the trend has been better and now it extends to 16.4%. At a time when we witnessed steep inflation in the fuel pricing, our team's foresightedness and swift action has yielded results in terms of mitigating the adverse impact. Recently, we have also won the Vrinda and Susai coal block in eastern India, which in years to come will not only add to the above objective, but will also bring out cost efficiencies. For our company, the overall fuel consumption rates almost doubled from $78 in FY21 to $141 in FY22. In fact, the surge was quite significant even in the last quarter, when our fuel consumption cost increased from $158 per ton to $181 per ton between Q3 and Q4. The inflationary headwinds are expected to sustain for some more time, and it is estimated that the fuel consumption cost may further increase. Friends, I'm happy to share that despite the diesel price escalation, our freight cost increase was again reasonably contained to 5.9%, and on the back of many strategic initiatives, including digitization, we have managed to retain our leadership position in the freight cost at 1,060 rupees per ton, and we also continue to have one of the lowest lead distance company in the industry. Now, if I talk of whole year, on full year basis, the adverse impact of just the input cost going up in our P&L account has been more than 850 crores. During the year, we have also doubled our renewable energy capacity from 31 megawatt to 62 megawatt. Having said so, we also realize that the base is low, which also offers us higher headroom to generate incremental savings from these investments. On the operation side, we are continuing to take long-term strategic projects, and during the year, through a shift in the project mix and in improvement in operating KPI, we actually have delivered a VC improvement of close to 64 rupees per ton. But considering the steep increase in the input rates, it just couldn't show up in the output numbers. Friend, before I move ahead, I'm happy to share that with all the productive efforts of the management and the team, we have one of the lowest total cost per ton at rupees 3,989 rupees per ton for full year FY22. In terms of pricing, even though industry price growth of 3% is ahead of the historical average, YOY price increase, the price didn't grow at the same pace as the input cost. Things are now looking up, with the bulk of pricing still coming with the last quarter of the year, and prices increasing YOY at almost 6.5 to 7%. We have seen rupees 30 to 50 rupees increase between December 21 exit to March 22 exit across all our regions, and the trend is continuing. Moving on the regional performance, if you look at regional volumes for our company, both in South and Northeast market, we outperformed and delivered double-digit growth. The performance in South is especially encouraging, where over the last couple of years, we have continued to strengthen our market share and now are amongst the top 2 to 3 companies by volume share. With regard to the market in East, there has been a marginal decline in the overall market size during the year. But despite that, our confidence in the East market potential remains intact, and we have continued to work on strategic projects, including capital investment in the region. During the beginning of the year, we had undertaken some controlled experiments in terms of product mix and packing, which initially had led to some displacement of market share of ours, but with the new product stabilizing gradually, we were able to regain our position before end of the year. We remain committed and upbeat about the growth in the eastern region. On our part, we will additionally be focusing on the improving our share of trade sales and increasing share of premium product in the overall product portfolio. We are happy to share that the share of our premium brand DSP as a percentage of trade sales stood at 20% during the year as compared to 18% last year. Now in terms of CapEx, in line with the announced growth plan, we diversified and entered the Western region through commercialization of the module plant of 2.9 million ton capacity and closed the year with an overall 35.9 million ton of installed capacity. By March 23, we are targeting a total installed capacity of 40 million ton and clinker capacity of 23.4 million ton. And further, we remain on track to reach 48.5 million ton by March 24. Friends, I also want to mention that while internally we are working on detailing out the growth trajectory beyond 48.5 million tons, but given the recent global turmoil, the volatility of the energy prices and the potential consolidation in the sector, we believe that it is prudent to put a short pause to announcement of any incremental new capacity expansion. Having said so, we would continue our efforts to line up the project and we remain fully committed to reaching out our vision of 110 to 130 million tons by 2031. As we march forward, ESG will form a cornerstone of all our decision making, and during the year, our CO2 emissions per ton of cement has further reduced to 489 kg, and our water positivity rate of 12.5 times is one of the highest in the industry. And we are, friends, genuinely proud of this. In order to further accelerate our journey to be carbon negative by 2040, under the Green Strategic Partnership of India and Denmark government, the company has signed a MOU with FLSmidth Denmark, a cement and technology company, to collaborate and develop breakthrough innovations to support sustainability in cement industry. For the rest of the details and key financial updates, I would now like to hand over the call with our CFO, Sri Dharminder Tuteja, and I'll be happy to answer all your questions following Vicky's remarks. Thanks, friends, and good day.
Thank you, Sangeeji. Good morning, everyone. As all the major updates have already been covered by Puneetji and Sangeeji, I'll quickly move to the key financial updates. Regarding incentives, this quarter we have accrued rupees 52 crores of incentives, which takes the financial year 22 numbers to about 231 crores. The collection during the quarter has been 77 crores, and the total collection for FY22 has been about rupees 237 crores. Incentive receivable as on 31st March stood at rupees 665 crores. Going forward, including only, we expect incentive accruals to be about rupees 240 crores for FY23 and FY24 each. That being said, during the quarter, we also received a revised letter for the Murli incentives entitlement, where the time limit for availment of the incentive now stands revised from 2032 to 2036. On the debt side, on full year basis, our gross debt has reduced by 602 crores and the closing debt as on March 31 stands at 3,130 crores. The net debt to EBITDA as on 31st March was negative 0.6 times. With respect to CapEx, we have spent close to rupees 1,900 crores during FY22 and our budgeted CapEx spend for FY23 is in the range of 3,000 to 3,500 crores. In line with our capital allocation framework and our vision to build a pure play cement company, the company has successfully completed restructuring of its refractory business. Regarding legacy holding of the shares of Dalmia Bharat Sugar, we have during the quarter taken an accounting call where under Ind AS 109, the investment which needed to be fair valued has been revalued accordingly, and the corresponding gain and loss has been adjusted to the other comprehensive income. A detailed note to this effect has been given in the financial results. Also, in line with the capital allocation framework, the board has proposed a final dividend of rupees 5 per share, which is subject to the approval of the shareholders in the ensuing AGM. This is in addition to the interim dividend of rupees 4 per share, which was paid in October 2021. The total payout of dividend for the year works out to rupees 169 crores compared to rupees 25 crores paid for financial year 21. The board has also decided to induct Mrs. Walker Chandok and Company, a member from of Grant Thornton Group, as statutory auditors in the operating subsidiary companies also, except in Calcom, where Deloitte will continue to be the auditors, and Mr. Chaturvedin Shah will continue to be joint statutory auditors in Dalmia Cement Bharat Limited. The appointment of Walker Chandok and Company as auditor is subject to approval of shareholders of respective companies in their AGMs. We will continue to work towards strengthening the balance sheet further and ensure that while we improve our operating performance, we also ensure implementation of best accounting principles and practices. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead. Sumangal, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with the question, please?
Yeah, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First, on the cost front, so overall, very good cost management during the quarter. Just want to understand what sort of cost inflation do we expect in the coming quarter, especially on the variable cost side on the coal front. And second, in 4Q, just some clarification, given needle price was relatively flat, what led to almost 80 rupees increase on a quarter basis for the freight cost?
So if I may answer that.
Hello. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, so, fine. No problem.
Yes, Sumangal. So, one, I would say that still the petcoke prices are at the level of 250 or so, and the imported coal prices are also very high. So, it looks like that the cost may go up to some extent in this quarter also, and maybe another quarter also. Difficult to predict at the moment. But, of course, our journey to enhance green fuel would continue, and that may, to some extent, mitigate the cost increase. And on this cost of freight, logistic cost, yes, we had, because of the high quantity, we had moved some quantity by rail, and some more steps were there on account of which this freight cost has gone up. But we are confident that we will be able to maintain the yearly cost, freight cost.
Okay. So just on the coal cost, we can see it's quite strong. But April is already gone and we generally maintain 30-40 days of inventory. Is it possible to share some more quantification on the cost inflation that we are seeing at least for 1Q?
I would say that the prices of coal in our case would be around $220 to $230.
Okay. Second question on the capex and the expansion. I missed what are we budgeting for FY23 as far as capex is concerned. And overall, we had announced almost a 10,000 odd crore capex last year, and there has been there should be some cost inflation on the overall capex front as well. So
yes,
for us to complete this 48 million tons of capacity, now what estimates are we running at?
For the year FY23, we are expecting that we should be able to spend 3,000 to 3,500 crore, which will include some ROI capex also, but mainly on the growth plan. And we are quite confident that capex in FY23 and FY24 would take us to 48.5 million tons by March 24.
Okay, I'll join back with you. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Mayur from HDFC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Mayur here. Can you hear me?
Mayur, your voice is coming a little muffled. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. One of the questions is already answered, which I wanted to ask. Just another one is for the WHRS and solar capacity, which we are adding in FY23. It's a bit aggressive one, which we see in your presentation. What are the kind of cost savings that, you know, you are estimating in coming years because of this aggressive addition of power?
I would say the difference or the delta between the power rate, which would come either from CPP or grid, and the WHRS and solar would be ranging from, say, 6 to 7 rupees. So accordingly, this will make the impact.
Okay, and any additions after that? Basically, if I can get some idea of what is the capex that we are doing in FY23 and maybe in FY24 also, where we can expect basically in next 2 years this total capacity of power going to?
Like in FY23, we will be adding about 41 megawatts of WHRS, and on solar part, it will be about 66 megawatts.
Yes, sir, that's there in your presentation. I'm asking about 24. I mean, you must be having some long-term plans for this, right?
So, yes, from WHRS point of view, I think we'll be completing all our projects, all our kilns will be fitted with the WHRS except one kiln, where we have the requirement of waste heat. And on solar, yes, gradually we will ramp up.
Fine, sir. Thank you very much. I'll come back.
Yeah, to be specific, Mayur, but FY23 savings are close to about 150 crores, which we expect on this power. And also in FY24, close to about 240 crores.
Fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Indrajit from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. First, we have seen large inflation across all construction materials, be it cement or to an extent lesser for cement, but more for steel, PVC, etc. Are you seeing any impact on IHP demand as a result of that, mainly on the tier 2, tier 3 or rural regions?
I would say that yes, there is a little impact, and more particularly people are quite apprehensive about the prices of the steel. To some extent, maybe in tier 2 and tier 3 cities, it may be having impact, and another impact may also come because of interest cost may go up for housing loan, but this is what is the impact of the inflation.
So would that change our, like, FY23 industry demand assumptions in terms of growth in any way? Or do you think we are still on track to do high single-digit kind of demand growth for the industry for the year?
With our interactions with certain rating agencies, what we understand is that the growth demand is projected between 6 to 8%, and we expect that our growth would be better than that.
Indrajit, if I can add, Rajiv here, this is too early to say how inflation is going to impact the housing demand, because housing demand has been kind of muted for the last many years, and there's a lot of pent-up demand after this pandemic. So there's going to be balance, you know, pandemic, the inflation is a lot of the supply constraint because of a lot of geopolitical issues also. So depending on how that plays out, I think it's too early in the day to predict as to how it will impact. But honestly, to ask us, given where we stand as a country in terms of our growth trajectory, and, you know, I think even if there is a mild inflation, I do not see an impact on the demand for infrastructure spending or for housing and other things. So we are working on that model right now. Our assumptions are that we will still see strong cement demand at least for the next couple of years.
I agree with you, Raju.
Sure. Thank you. This is very helpful. And I just want to clarify one number. So for 4Q, our coal cost was blended $181, and the spot prices that we are procuring or at inventory is $220 to $230. Is that correct, or there's some mistake in my understanding?
Broadly, it's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, how are you thinking of inorganic opportunities? There were media reports of Dalmia bidding for wholesale assets. So in terms of balance sheet size, how will you address this? And as a follow-up, with the second largest group also changing hands, how do you see the dynamics change for the industry and then for you specifically, and also your read on the valuation?
Rajiv?
Yeah. So, hi. See, there have been media reports about hosting wanting to sell their stake in Ambuja and ACC. And I would say that it's a great news. It's a great asset to the company as well. They are large players in the country, and the cement sector is definitely looking good. You know, what gives us a lot of confidence and also actually excites us is the fact that there are so many new players who are new to the cement sector also looking at these companies. The fact that they're looking at investments in cement, and ACC and Ambuja are not cheap assets, you know, they're looking at investing in this sector, it just shows how important this sector is for in the next, you know, couple of decades for India's growth, and what their, expectation on the sector is going to be. So it gives us a lot of confidence in terms of our growth trajectory. We're talking about 110 to 130 million tons. And it reiterates our position saying that, look, this sector is going to get re-rated. There's a lot of potential of this sector in the country. And any level of consideration from the industry would definitely help in also be able to command prices and also to be able to pass on the input price inflation to the customer. So on the news of Dalmia looking at it, I think it's all media speculation. I would not like to comment on the media speculation. You know, we have a very active M&A function which looks at all the opportunities come our way, and ACC Ambuja as a part of that would get evaluated. But again, we are not commenting on specific things. The question of how we'll operate in the balance sheet, I think that is for the details we worked out as a result of an opportunity. So at this point, I cannot comment specific on this opportunity.
Got it. Secondly, if you can just talk about the Murli asset ramp-up, how is the ramp-up like, and what is the cost structure or profitability of the asset versus, let's say, your average profitability at the company level?
One, I would say that our team has been able to commercialize this project, the plant which was closed for years and years and had a lot of problems, but then we could first restart it, and then we could start commercial products also in the month of January. Now, ramping up is good, and we do expect that capacity utilization of 60 to 70% during the year of 2023. Cost has gone up mainly on account of energy prices, but otherwise on KPI front or various operating parameters front, in years time, it will be almost equivalent to what the Dalmia Group's best figures are.
Okay. So one can expect more than 1,000 rupees per ton level even from this asset. Is that the understanding?
So it will be the function of prices in the market, the energy cost that will decide, but at the same time, we have got GST incentive available with us, like what Mr. Dhamendra has highlighted so that you help us in getting the right EBITDA.
Got it. Lastly, just on the capital allocation part, it's been a while since you partly offloaded the IEX stake. So any thoughts or timelines on the remaining part of the investment?
Now, this is being reviewed, and of course, at the appropriate time, definitely calls will be taken to offload as and when necessary. That's the timing we cannot comment right now.
See, if I can just add, see, IEX is a public company, and we are also a public company, so I cannot comment on the timeline. But I think we have clearly demonstrated our intent to offload all the non-strike businesses. And this part, if you look at it, we have done the refractive business restructuring. Dalmia Sugar also has got fair value. So I think in terms of, the journey, I think we have fully committed journey. Cannot comment on the timeline, as Dhananjay is rightly saying, but we are in a bit negative of 0.6. So as in when we need the money for expansion, and we also have to ensure that we have a good leverage on the balance sheet so that, you know, working or the weighted average cost of capital comes down. So I think considering many factors, we would take the right call at the on the timing part. But definitely, we are committed to making this a pure placement company.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted to understand, with this change of hands at Holcim, do you think it changes anything for the industry and for us? And related question is, are talking about, a sort of hiatus in capacity expansion after 43, after reaching the 48, which itself is substantial, I don't deny. Had that got anything to do with this change of hands at Holcim? So if you could address both of those.
Anything you want to go or I'll...
Rajiv, you go ahead.
Okay. So, would it change anything in the industry dynamics? I think it would depend on who buys it. If it is bought by, if you're reading a media report, there are three players, as we understand right now. Except, for example, hypothetically, UltraTech buys it, it'll lead to more consolidation in the industry, right? But they'll have to offload the asset because from a, PCF perspective. So we'll have to see how it plays out. If, say, for example, a new player buys this asset, then depends on, because they're going to leverage the balance sheet, they're also going to look at, it's not very cheap asset, it's an expensive asset. So what does it mean for the pricing in each of the sectors or each of the regions of it? So I think this will definitely change some of the dynamics. Very difficult to put, to comment on exactly what will happen because it will a lot will depend on the price at which it is bought, who buys it, and what their future strategy is going to be around this asset. So I think it will be too early to be able to comment on that at this point of time. In terms of, what you said, we put a short pause. I think there are many factors playing into it, right? There's too much volatility in the energy prices. The world doesn't seem to be the same place as we saw it probably about 4 or 5 months back, right? There's a lot of geopolitical tension, China shutdown, supply chain disruption, inflation going up, interest costs hardening. And on top of that, news of consolidation in the industry. I think there are many factors which are considered when we look at a holistic, when we look at a strategy roadmap. So while we are committed to 110 to 130 million tons, we still believe in the vision and we are working towards that. I think we decided to just delay our announcement. And if you look at it, we've also been trying to tie up our raw material security. We have started bidding for coal blocks. We have started bidding for limestone blocks. So in line with our strategy, we are already taking a lot of steps. But I think we just decided it's prudent to delay the announcement of further expansion beyond 48.5 because we want to see what happens on some of these macro factors and also on the conservation news. And then it will be the right time to announce, and if you have to, public tweak our strategy, it will be able to do that also. So I think it was just, we felt it was too immature to announce anything at this.
No, sure. Thank you. No, sounds very prudent. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question was pertaining to the capital allocation framework that we had announced in last July. You had indicated target ROC of 14 to 15%, and you had also indicated that basically, my question is this number the same basically if you had to look at any inorganic opportunities? And I think there was also an asterisk which was put on the target net debt to EBITDA, which was less than 2x. that there could be a deviation in case of any inorganic opportunities. So just wanted to understand two numbers, ROC and net debt to EBITDA, if at all for any inorganic opportunities if we had to chase.
No, absolutely. Rajiv here. Let me take this and then ask Palichi Vijay to add further. When we spoke about our ROC, I think we believe that this sector would deliver a ROC of mid-teens. And there is no data point that I am seeing which makes me believe that it is not the case. Yes, there could be volatility as we go along because, for example, the energy prices are so much of impact on return cash flows and the returns. And to that extent, you will continue to see volatility in the earnings. But on a long-term view, if you ask me, I think 14 to 15% is what we are working towards, and I think it's absolutely achievable. The question of what happens in case there's a large M&A opportunity which comes up, that we really caveated that last time also when we announced the policy. See, over a 10-year period, we have committed to this one. If for any reason, suppose there's a great opportunity which comes our way in terms of acquisition opportunity, just because we have announced a net debt to EBITDA of 2, doesn't mean that we'll start giving up on opportunities and we'll let the competition. So, you know, the M&A, when you look at the long-term strategy, there are many things which go at play. This capital allocation framework helps us and defines what we want to do, defines our intent. But there would always be a few exceptions made. And, you know, the whole idea is that when you make exceptions, you come out to everybody, say that these are the reasons you have made an exception and these are the reasons why you had to do it. What is the science of the admission? Come back to within the framework. So I think the idea was to create more transparency and also create boundary conditions for us to work with. But it doesn't, we don't want to tie our hands and legs and say that, you know, because this is the policy and we can't do anything beyond that. Because, you know, as I told you in the last year when we announced this, I believe that this sector will see a lot of consolidation because it's still a very fragmented market. The top 5 players only have about 54-55% capacity share. And I think you will see consolidation in this industry. We don't want to shut our eyes to an opportunity if it comes our way because we also have a pan-India vision. We also want to be a reasonable player in every market that we operate. So if this helps us accelerate the journey, of course we will.
Very, very fair. So the second question is more from an industry standpoint. We would like to hear Prodigy's view over here. Sir, we have been quite upbeat about the demand prospects in the country. But given the way in which the energy basket has been moving up and also the construction costs, how do you see the impact of price elasticity of demand? Like, will it have a bearing on demand? And if so, what impact it could have overall on the pricing environment? Because both the demand and pricing are both critical. How do you look at the scenario if, say, crude hypothetically remains at $115? There is price elasticity of demand. That is something which is real. So how do you balance the two variables? Just a very hypothetical situation, but if the situation had to continue for next 6 months, how do you visualize that?
Okay, let me just give you, you know, my high-level thoughts. I think based on, you know, what we have seen in India so far, the, you know, even if cement prices move in the band of 20-30%, there is no elasticity of demand. So demand doesn't go up if prices come down, and it doesn't fall because prices go up. In the band of, like, let's say, you know, 20-30%. If I look at, you know, the current situation where, you know, most of the, you know, the building material prices have gone up, cement hasn't gone up that much, but we are not seeing a, you know, drastic demand contraction yet. In fact, I was even seeing the rural economy, Mahindra and Mahindra numbers were for April, the, you know, tractor sales were like, you know, 50% high on a YOY basis, almost like, you know, 89,000 tractors were sold. So I think I'm seeing good signs in the rural economy. I am also, you know, even though March quarter is a good quarter, our YOY growth in March has been 16%, as opposed to the whole year being 7%. So, you know, partly it's seasonality, but, you know, I think demand is, you know, going to be, you know, reasonably strong. I also think that, you know, inflation is here to stay. There could be some changes in the geopolitical scenario if the war gets over, and depending upon how the central bank decides to balance growth versus inflation. So I'm a little cautious about, you know, our ability to pass on the cost spike fully. And I think H1 is going to be tough compared to last year, because last year H1 was quite strong. And I think H1 is going to be quite difficult. But H2, hopefully things should be better than H1. But on the volume side, I'm not seeing a significant headwind. You know, I just see, you know, like last year growth was 7%. I think this year should be better than last year, you know, for sure. And, but on the cost, on the, you know, margin side, you know, I'm cautious. I'm very cautious. I think so far there is a lag in terms of how much we can pass on and how soon we can pass it on. And I think that condition remains challenging for the next 6 months at least, as I see it.
That's very useful. Just last one question for Singhiji, sir. We have done a phenomenal job on green fuel. I just wanted to understand on a rupees per kcal basis, how should one look at it? Does it look good on the overall rupees per kcal for the fuel cost, or is it like you are chasing ESG and hence you are okay to spend a little bit more for ESG?
You know, it will be always economical as well. Broadly, it will be stable, and it will be maybe 20% or something lower than the fuel prices. But it all depends on what are the fuel prices. We are spending money for the right plants and machinery so that we can use it in a right way. As well, we are also able to avoid usage of fossil fuel, which also helps us in bringing down our carbon footprint and making the globe better.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for the answers. Wish you good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Muraga from Access Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the capacity commission schedule. So you've shared it for WHRS. Could you also lay it out for the cement expansion from 35.9 to 40 and then to 48.5?
Yes, like we said earlier, our capacity of cement would be 40 million done by March 23. And then rest would be commissioned in FY24 so that we become 48.5 million ton cement company by March
24. That I understand. I was just wanting to know if it is possible to have a 1H, 2H breakup just as you have shared for WHRS Solar.
Say, this balance, maybe 0.6 million ton would get added in the next 3 months in cement, and then balance would be the second half for the year FY23. And in FY24, maybe 2 or 3 billion ton may get added in first half, balance in second half.
Okay, got it. And just another question, capacity utilization. So it was about 65% in FY22, which is actually lower than industry, and you have another 35% expansion lined up. So how should we think of capacity utilization like in that context?
We are expecting that we should be able to do better in our volume in comparison to overall industry, both in south region as well as eastern northeast, and that may help us in improving our capacity utilization. And we are quite hopeful that in time to come, the growth of cement in India would be better in years to come, and that will also help us in better capacity utilization. Difficult to commit to this number, but then yes, it will go on year by year.
Okay, sure. Thanks. And just a last question, which is on Murli. You mentioned that it will ramp up to 60 to 70%, but would it be operating at right now?
Say around 55-60%.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, a couple of data points. First of all, trade, non-trade share for this quarter and for full year, and also the lead distance for fourth quarter and for the full year.
Yes. Dharmendra,
Aditi? Yeah. our trade mix for the quarter is about 65%, and on the lead distance for the quarter we were at a 318 kilometers.
Okay, so the lead distance has gone up versus last quarter. It was 298, so 318. So that would be the reason in terms of the increase in the freight cost. Sir, the other question is in terms of the clarify me if I am wrong. The capex total plan that we announced was 8,500 to 9,200 odd crore. So out of that, how much already we have done till FY22? In FY23, we have said 3,000 to 3,500 crore we are going to spend. And out of that, roughly what in terms of the WHRS and solar, how much are we spending in the FY23?
FY22, we spent about 1,900 crores. And FY23 budget, as we stated, is about 3,000 to 3,500 crores, and FY24 another about 3,500 to 4,000 crores. Balance will go in the coming year, which is also the cost that's incurred, but cash flow wise, it gets deferred to slightly later after the commissioning also.
Okay. The other question is in terms of the in the previous question you have answered, if you can help us slightly better in terms of the upcoming capacity which is there. So you say 0.3, 0.6 million to come in the next 3 months. But if you can open the presentation page 7 and if you can help us, would be better which region would be coming in FY23, 4 million ton that will be coming 4.1 and the next capacities. So that would be helpful because there is not much clarity on that part.
I may answer that. All of greenfield and brownfield will come in FY24. The 4 million ton of cement expected in FY23 is spread across regions. Previously, we filled that out, but as we look at commercialization, giving you the exact. Comes to 23 is part of the cement debottlenecking process.
Sorry, Aditi, your voice was breaking. If you can repeat again, I got greenfield and brownfield will come in FY24. So that is 3 and 1.7 million ton will come in FY24 and the rest.
And the 2.5 million ton of Bihar will also be in FY24. The rest that comes in during FY23 is the debottlenecking, which is across our plan.
Right.
Okay. That's it from my side. Sir, last one. In terms of the price increase in this April, so versus the fourth quarter average, how much we have seen the increase on an average?
I would say there has been somewhat price increase on account of cost inflation in east and northeast, but there's hardly any price increase in south. And east, the price increase must be different states ranging from say 10 rupees to 20 rupees.
Okay, so east only 10 to 20 rupees increase we have seen versus the from the last, and south nothing, no increase.
You are right.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Naveen Sahadev from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, please.
All right. So, thank you for the opportunity. My question was on the CO2 emissions. So, for the year, you said we've done about 489 versus I think we were at just about 492 last year. Our target is to, I think, go up to almost 373 by 2030, which implies a very stringent target of a reduction of 3% CAGR. This year, it's less than 1%. So in the context of blending ratios that we were trying to improve, where are we and how do you see this CO2 per ton reduction roadmap? Thank you.
Yes. So two things. One, since we have started the old plant of Borli as well as the old plant of Kalyanpur, which is DDSPL. On that account, in those two plants, the CO2 emissions were higher in comparison to our all modernized their plants. And that's why this year we could see only the little improvement in CO2 reductions. And now already all actions have been taken for bringing down the CO2 emissions in these two plants, which we'll be able to see results in next 2 years. That is one. And secondly, on making low carbon cement or the blended cement, actions are on, and then we are quite hopeful that we'll be able to make good inroads more in next 2 years.
So if you have the blending percentage handy with you, or I could take it later.
Later, please.
Okay.
78%.
78%. Okay. Yes. Okay. My second question then was about this alternate fuel or green fuel, as you call it, and very commendable improvement there from 8% to 16%. I wanted to understand, typically, if you can quantify the savings that it would have generated in this journey of from 8 to 16. That's one part of the question. The second is, as we try to increase this use of alternate fuel, technically, and I could be wrong, but technically, there is usually some hit on the output of the kilns, typically that happens. So first of all, are we working towards any sort of upgrades, or does it further require any modernization or upgradation to increase this usage further to, let's say, 20-25%, and how geared or prepared are we on this front to handle that?
Yes. First, let me tell you that whenever we take up such projects, then we do try to understand the technology possibilities as well as the people's training. So we have done both, and that's why we have been able to ramp up. Initially, when we start using a higher percentage output, impact does come, but then with the various improvements in processes also, as well as the stabilization of the equipment which we put in, we are able to manage that. And I may tell you that we have become the first in the industry to put up a chloride bypass system, on account of which also we could use more, and now industry is also following, so that's also good part. And we are hopeful that with the all actions which we have taken for, one, training our own people, getting the right material, and third, putting up the right plants with the technology, we'll be able to use a higher percentage.
Sure, appreciate.
So for the full year, it will be close to about 200 crores, and the last quarter itself could be around 90 crores.
Full year, 200 crores, last quarter, 90 crores.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, sir. My first question is on the expansion outlook post FY24. Which you said is a pause as of now. So, as I understand, these expansions were in North and Central markets. So, does this impact this change in MMDR Act, for which I think we were looking to expand faster for our lease life. So, does anything change on that front?
As far as 48.5 is concerned, this is all in our existing region where we have all right resources. So there's no impact on that.
No, so I'm asking and beyond 48.5.
So that's why we are exploring various possibilities, and we have been also able to get few blocks also, like one block in Rajasthan, which was highlighted in last call. So those actions are in process, and surely when we quantify and concretize, we'll share with you.
Secondly, what will be our fuel mix right now? And when we say cost of fuel went up from 158 to 181. Does this also include some implied domestic coal and greenfield prices, or is just for imported coal?
So this price is in relation to the pet coke which we consume, Indian and imported, as well as the imported coal.
The fuel mix is primarily pet coke is around 64%, and rest of the fuels other than pet coke is remaining 36%.
And this will, this fuel mix will be quite dynamic looking, depending on the prices of imported coal or pet coke, as well as the availability of Indian coal.
Okay, so 36% include domestic coal and imported coal both?
Yes. As well as the green fuel.
Okay, and my last question, sir. When you, while you alluded on year-on-year growth for FY22, like South grew double digit, East for small decline, can you highlight the same for like focus?
For
fourth quarter, how did the South and East region perform when you had like a 3% growth? So how did the regional performance was?
So I would say that we have done better in South and Northeast, and in East, yes, we could recover the losses which we had earlier.
Thank you, sir, for all the answers.
And
thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. And now I'll hand the conference over to Mr. Dalima for closing comments.
Sorry, I'm unable to hear. The voice is not clear. Sorry.
Sir, would you like to give any closing comments?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. I think, we are ending on a good note in a tough year. And I think, as we step into the next year, there is a lot of action in our sector. And, some headwinds continue. But I still continue to remain quite bullish. Our expansion plans are on track, even though there's inflation. And we continue to believe in this sector, and I think the best is yet to come. Thank you again for joining, and thank you for all your feedback. Look forward to continued engagement with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. On behalf of Dalmia Bharat Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.